Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that we can remember what this day is all about. It's the day that Jesus Christ got up from the dead, that he rose, Father, and made our second life available, Father, because we know that nobody comes to you except through Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing our families, for taking care of them, and looking after them. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Through everything he went through was to redeem us. Under the old law, under the Old Testament, you had to sacrifice a lamb every year. That's what was done for the people. And so what happened was Jesus Christ became that final sacrificial lamb. So when John the Baptist saw him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus Christ came specifically. Take it off? Okay. There we go. Well, Jesus Christ came specifically to take away our sins and to redeem us. What I want to do is I've got a couple of scriptures here I want to read to you, because there was something interesting that happened when Jesus Christ died and they put him in the earth, and he was there 3 days and three nights. But I want you to notice who were the first people at the tomb and what they did. So what I've done is I've gone to Luke chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women came with them. And they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. What the women did was they came to finish the job that Joseph of Arimathea was supposed to have done. And because of the haste to get Jesus Christ into the ground, get him buried, there was not time to do the normal preparation of the body. So these women came back very diligently to finish up what needed to be done. And they had to wait till the Sabbath day was over. Well, you know when the Sabbath day was?
Saturday.
Right. Right. Saturday was the Sabbath for the Jewish people. And so this is very early Sunday morning, this morning, which is the first day of the week. And the women get to the tomb, and we'll find out what they ran into. And there were certain women which with them which came to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. This stone was, I would imagine, was probably about the size of that opening right there around the window and everything else. But as they were going though, they were women, and they couldn't figure out how they were going to move the stone so that they could get to the body to prepare it. But when they get there, it's already been rolled away. Okay, verse 2, "But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." They came looking for the body. But the thing is, now understand that Jesus Christ had told them over and over again that he would die, that he would rise from the dead on the third day, and then he would be with them. He would be ascended into heaven. But they forgot about that. But the women were the first ones there at the grave site, and they came to prepare what the men didn't do. They came to finish up the work of preparing the body for the burial. But the women were the most faithful in this, and that's what I wanted to point out here. And it happened, they were greatly perplexed about this. And behold, there were two men standing in shining garments. And when they were, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you here looking for Jesus Christ? Don't you remember that he told you that on the third day he was going to get up from the dead? That's what he told you. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." but they had forgotten about this. So the women are given a message to take to the apostles. And when they remembered the words, they returned from the tomb and told many things to the 11 apostles. Why were there only 11? Do you remember?
Well, one, they got Jesus.
Judas Iscariot,
right,
who betrayed Jesus for silver, had gone out and hanged himself. So that brought them down from 12 disciples to 11. And on the day of Pentecost, they choose the 12th apostle to replace him. But that's why it was 11. And
I didn't know. Is that what happened? He hung himself?
Well,
or is that just speculation of what he did to himself?
No, he hung himself. But what he did was means.
No.
That's fine. When he says he hung himself, it doesn't mean he put a rope around his neck. What he did was he put a sword in the ground, and then he impaled himself over that sword. The swords were not very sharp. They were just meant for breaking bones and that kind of thing. But when he landed on that with all his weight, it went into his body and killed him. And so that city, that place where he was killed at, became known as Potter's Field. That's where you took all the people who couldn't afford to be taken care of. All right, now let's get back to this, though. I want to go on just a little bit further. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told the 11. Now, there was Mary, Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. So these three women, they're told by these angels, the two men, to go tell the apostles, go tell them, and remind them of what's going on, that this is the third day that Jesus Christ is not here anymore. He's gone. He's arisen. And so they go back and they tell the apostles, and you know what? They didn't believe them. The 11 apostles were off. They thought, the party's over. I'm through with this. We're going to go back to fishing. We're going to do things the way we want to. It was all over for them. But they had to be reminded by the women of what Jesus Christ had told them to do. And so they told them. And the 11, out of that group, Peter ran back to the tomb and looked in for himself because he wanted to see. And when he found out that he was gone, then they remembered and believed those things that they had been told by Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is no longer here. And one of the things that the Word says about God and about Jesus Christ is that they loved people. This is a time in our society in which Ukraine is under attack from Russia and thousands of people are dying. Thousands of people are dying. Now we're going to go into this. But the point is, we as Christians have a responsibility. In John 14, it says that the things that I've done, you guys might need to carry it on because I go into my Father. So we have the responsibility of carrying on what Jesus Christ began, and that's to love people. We're not going to get away from the Ukraine and from all of these homicides and murders going on in this city until we as Christians rise up and let people see God in our lives. Let them see God's love through us. And one of the things that I was talking to David about, David does a wonderful job of helping everybody around here, and he shows love to everyone. You know from personal experience, right?
He helps me every time I need something out in the garden.
Right.
Hope he still can.
But the thing is, that's our responsibility. Now, as you go through here, Jesus Christ calmed the raging sea. The apostles were out on crossing the Sea of Galilee, and lo and behold, the sea is really crazy. I mean, the waves are sinking the boat, and things are out of hand. And so they called Jesus, and Jesus wakes up. He's asleep on the boat, And he comes up and he says, "Peace, be still." And he calms the sea. He loved those guys. He didn't want them to drown. He didn't want anything to happen to them. And then down below that, he healed the sick and the lame. And then if you look off to the right, Matthew 4:24 from the King James Version. "And his fame went throughout Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken in divers kinds of torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and which were lunatics, and those that had palsy, and he healed them all." He healed them all. Jesus Christ healed the sick. He stopped storms. And then the next one, which I like even better, he fed the multitude. Remember that story when he fed the multitude? There were about 5,000 men. Well, now some of these men had brought their families along. So there was probably well over 15,000 people. And yet Jesus Christ, first he gives the apostles the job of feeding them. He says, "Feed them, take care of them." And they said, but Lord, we don't have anything but two fishes and five loaves of bread. How are we going to feed them unless we go into town and buy something?" And so he says, "Set them down," and he did. And then he fed them. He blessed the food, and they still had, after 15,000 people were fed, they still had food left together that was left over. That's the kind of love Jesus Christ had for people. Can you imagine 15,000 people? Stop and think about all of the people in the world that need help, that need food, that need clothing, and just need help, something simple. That's our job. We as representatives of Jesus Christ, carrying out his love and giving that love to others. If each one of us leaves here today and we do nothing but help somebody, bless somebody, that's one less person in this world who has a need, who has a want. One less person. And then you take that and multiply it times all the people here in this building, and they go out and they reach people and they help people. We can get rid of all of this stuff like Chernobyl or whatever that is, Ukraine, all of that kind of stuff. But it's going to we've got to rise up now and carry on the work that Jesus Christ had. You know, it says, and I've written in here that maybe our believing isn't there yet to calm raging seas, to heal our friends, to feed multitudes. But you know, there is something that we can do, something that each one of us has been given the challenge to do. Can you give someone a smile? Can you bless somebody? Just offer them. And again, David's a good example of this, of how helpful he is to people around
he
here.
He puts up my hummingbird feeders.
Yeah.
And I keep waiting, but I fear it's too early to put them up yet.
Yeah.
And I got them out this morning, and they're all ready. But it's too cold, I fear.
Well, they'll be here. They
well,
will
I
be
know
here.
They will be.
And that's how we can help. That's how we can carry out the work of love and the love that Jesus Christ had. Yeah, but that is things like that that we can each do for each other to help them and to help each other. Compliment somebody on their outfit, on how they look, or what they do to bless you. Help them with a task or chore. I put in here that thing about the hummingbirds because I remembered that. Or help somebody put, like with a project like putting up a hummingbird feeder.
I love that.
But those are the kinds of things that we can do to spread the love that God has for each and every one of us. That's what we can do to carry on the work that Jesus Christ began, because he's not here anymore, but he's in us. He's in us, and he's in each and every one of us. And
it
we have...
My grandson now owns and lives there.
Right.
And last year when I wasn't there and I was going to get the hummingbirds here, he said, "Grandma, the hummingbirds are here. That no, they were just there and they're everywhere." I said, "Oh God, that's wonderful." They came back. He's feeding all the other birds, so I guess that's...
Yeah, And they'll be here too. They'll be here too.
They came last summer late.
But they'll find that feeder again, and they'll be blessed.
They will.
But those are the kinds of things that we can do to help people. God has something special that only you can do to bless God's people, to give them that love, to help them. And then turn it over to the back. Jesus was God's show and tell on love. Jesus Christ continued to go out and show people exactly what it meant to love people. Stop and think about the woman with the issue of blood. He got, and he ministered to her, he blessed her, he healed her. And she, as she went through the crowd, her responsibility was to say, unclean, unclean. And that's what she was supposed to shout, so that nobody could touch her. She was considered untouchable. Jesus Christ touched her. That was the kind of love that he had. And then this picture, I love this picture, I've used it several times. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and it's a heart shaped in clouds. And, you know, it's that thing that, that's how much he loved us. And it's not that Jesus Christ sinned. He came, he paid for our sins in his own body. He took all of our sin upon him so that we could be sinless. Matthew 22:36-40. And this is when a lawyer had come to Jesus Christ, and he says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We have a responsibility to go out and love others, to love our neighbors. And it doesn't mean the people that treat you like you're some kind of a king. We have a responsibility to go out and love those people around us, to give them the love that Jesus Christ would have given. And that's how they're going to know who we are. That's how they're going to see that God in Christ in us. What we have been freely given is God's never-ending love. Our responsibility as Christians is to let God's love shine through us to everyone that we meet. There shouldn't be a person that you go past that doesn't see the love of God in you and in your life and in your smile. A dear friend once said, people will not know God's love unless we show it to them. That's our responsibility. That's what we each have responsibility to. Help me change the theme of Easter from candy Easter eggs to whom can I share God's love with today.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
I just hit the thought this morning. I listened because I had to get up early because my back hurt so bad. And the comment was, Russia, how can they be so anti-God with all the people they have? And where did, I don't know that they went into it, where did Russia become really anti-God? And I don't know. It's so confusing to me. Russia, why are they like they are?
What can we do about it?
Well, apparently not much right now. I don't know.
Well, each one can win one. If you do nothing more than bless somebody here, just as David blessed you with a weird feeder, that's one less person in the world that needs to be loved. And if each one of us reaches one, then by the time you multiply it, times all the people here in this home, then each one of them reached someone.
Is it because of their lack of caring, or what happened? It just vanished? Miracle to me.
Well, the thing is, though, the lawyer who came to Jesus Christ and asked, basically, what's the great commandment? And his commandment was to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If we each one take that responsibility to love our neighbors, then all of those countries, all of the people, but it's going to happen one person at a time. One person at a time. And then as we each do something to bless our neighbor, then we're going to have a better world, a better place to live.
I think they know, but they're helpless at this moment to do anything about.
That may be quite true. And it's a sad situation. But the thing is, you don't even have to look at Russia to see that kind of thing.
Oh, God, I know.
And, you know, there are people being murdered in our streets in Kansas City. But the thing is, we each have a responsibility to love our neighbors. And as we do, we're going to win those people back. We're going to turn this world around. Well, that's what the Word says. Jesus Christ said to the lawyer, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor. And then the last part of that, which I tend to forget, as yourself. Not only do you love the person next to you and do for them, but do for yourself as well. Take care of yourself. What now?
Self. You're not able to help anyone.
Right. You've got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Before you can help anybody else. But we each have that responsibility. Jesus Christ was one man, yet he touched the entire world at that time because of the love because he fed the multitudes. He did things like calming the sea, and he healed the sick, all of those out there. One man, and then he had 12 followers. They were the apostles. The apostles are dead now, and they're gone. But you know what? Every one of us Christians has the same responsibility to go out and love others, to help others. That's our responsibility. And as we do, this world is going to be a better place. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen. This world didn't get into this condition overnight. And it's not going to take that to get out of it. But we have to remember that no man comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. As we get people born again, as we show them God's love, and we help them get born again. You know, what do you have to do to get born again? Are you familiar with Romans 10, 9 and 10? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We need to bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and to help them know that there's no other route to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And again, it may begin with a simple loving act like helping somebody put up a bird feeder. You know, it can be something that simple, but the goal is to help them learn about Jesus Christ and help them get born again. And they, in turn, will help others. That's what it's going to take. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to happen overnight. But we each have a responsibility to do that.
Right now, it's nothing but just complete massacres and hate, and it's hard on everybody.
Well, look at it this way. Wilma and I come here often, and we have a service like this. That changes people's hearts.
Yeah.
That changes. We are doing our best. I went to Chicago last week, and I was up there working with a couple of people, friends of mine, who were very sick, very ill, and one had just gone into the hospital. And I went up there and prayed with that man. But I went all the way to Chicago to do that. And then while I was there in town, I worked with another woman. She's an Inch disease. Her mind is gone. She talks to people. But I prayed with her. I spent time with them. I love those people. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, we can't all go to Chicago or around the world, but maybe you can help your neighbor here. And as we do that, one by one, things are going to change. They may start out by changing at Meadowlark. Maybe this is the only place in the world that's like that. But you know what? as people leave here and go out and they minister to their families, then their families are going to go out and work with other people. But one by one, if we stay focused on our job, and Jesus Christ gave us the assignment to love God first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. As we do that, we'll turn things around. Yes, there's revival coming. I don't know when. But it begins with each and every one of us. It begins with each and every one of us.
Appreciate your service. Glad I was there.
Nothing to apologize for. Nothing to apologize for.
I could hardly make it down. And I stood in the line. Everybody was, I'm not going to be served. I'm going to get up and walk through that line and get what I have to do.
There you go. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Now, it's Martha. His Father, I thank you for Martha, just taking care of her back, Father, for taking care of the arthritis, Father, for making her pain-free, helping her walk, helping her to just serve you better, Father, and to bring a smile to her face so that she can know that she's blessed and that she can be a blessing to others. And Father, I thank you for David and for his life and just the way he helps so many people, Father, and just his whole life is just helping others. Yesterday when we were here for the celebration of life, I look around and there's David putting chairs away, just helping to bless people. Father, it's that kind of attitude that's going to turn this world back around to where it ought to be. And that's, it takes each and every one of us doing the things that you've called us to do to bless other people. We thank you, Father, for blessing this place, the establishment, the management here, Father. And we thank you for blessing all of the people that reside here, their family members, Father, and taking care of them. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.